Hi, it's Brian. Before we get into today's episode, I want you all to check out our new Work in Sports Academy courses. You all reach out to me daily with questions about your sports career, and I love it. I love being able to help. But it also showed me there's a huge demand for sports career advice deeper than we can provide on this podcast, more advanced, higher level. You all want to know about subjects like gaining the right experience to impress employers, building your network, mastering your resume, learning how to interview. So we went at it. We built some incredible online courses full of videos, articles, worksheets, cheat sheets, and more. Check out workinsports.com/gameplan for more information on all four of our available courses. You can purchase them individually or as a price chopping bundle of all four. It's really cool. If you like this podcast, know that these courses are the best of what I have to offer, deeper and more impactful than anything I've created prior. And when you buy, you'll have lifetime access to them, including all new content and concepts that I add. So as I have new ideas that fit into these courses, they're going to get in there and you're going to get that access too. Check it out, workinsports.com/gameplan. All right, let's start the countdown.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, VP of Content and Engaged Learning for WorkInSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports podcast. I just got back from a week's vacation, and I have to tell you, please don't take this the wrong way, but I didn't think about anything related to my job. I didn't consider the podcast, my coming guests, questions I should ask, angles I should delve into, or anything really. I completely unplugged, and it was glorious. Yes, I still peeked at my phone and I checked in on sports news, but that's because, I don't know, I like it. I want to know what's going on. This is what I've considered my interest level. I want to keep up on what's happening. It's the industry I love. I don't feel obligated to do that. I do that because I want to. So yeah, I checked in on Kawhi and Kemba, and then I went back to being outdoors and out of reach. I was never very good at this when I was younger. I never unplugged, and I'll be honest, it damaged my relationships. Even when I wasn't at work, I was never present. I was always somewhere else, thinking my mental presence was necessary at all moments. I thought my involvement was necessary for every waking moment, and that's just not real. It's not sustainable either. Now, that's not the subject of today's podcast. We're going in a different direction, but I just wanted to let you all know, in the future, you will not remember the extra phone call or the micromanaging of some project, but you will remember the experiences you are fully present for. Years from now, my kids will remember sliding down a 60-foot rock into a 55-degree river in the Pisgah National Forest, and so will I. So I don't feel one bit guilty about unplugging for a week, and neither should you. You should find those moments. Don't starve yourself of experiences in the name of grinding out a work life. Balance, people. All right, my preach is complete. Let's get back to business. Today's question comes in from Marnie from Mississippi. It's got a nice ring to it. Marnie from Mississippi. Hi, Brian. This is Marnie speaking from Mississippi. I don't currently know that she's in Mississippi when she sent it, but she's from there. That's important for Marnie from Mississippi. Hi, Brian. I love the Work in Sports podcast. I have learned so much. I just signed up for the online courses and I'm already blown away. The depth and step-by-step advice you share is just so helpful. I have so much more confidence now, and I'm making the decision that I am making the decisions that will change my career. Okay, this is me talking now. Some of you may be thinking right now, boy, that's self-indulgent of Brian to read a rousing review of his new online courses. And you know what I'd say to that? You are 100% correct. It is self-indulgent. And I want more of you to purchase this course. So of course I'm going to share when people like it. Yes, self-indulgent, part of life. Okay, buy the course. That's what I want to have happen, you know? Don't blame me. Okay, back on track. Marty's question from Mississippi. I just landed an internship at an organization I have always wanted to work for. I am so helpful this hopeful, sorry, helps if I read. I am so hopeful this turns into a full-time role. I know I'm supposed to focus on doing my absolute best in the role first, but how else can I try to turn this experience into a full-time role? Okay, Marnie, great question. We've talked a lot about your strategy during an internship, you know, what you want to do while you're on the internship, how you want to perform, all the little things you want to do to build your network, all those different parts and pieces. And I want to make sure we go really deep into your question of what else can you do to turn this into a full-time job? Because I think that's really the goal, right? I mean, every one of you is going to college and doing internships and doing all these things with a certain goal in mind. I want to have a full-time job. I want to have a career. And you want to choose internships that could lead to full-time roles. You want to choose companies that you want to work for. You've targeted this company for a reason. I hope it's not just because it was easy to get the internship. It's because you want to work there. That's part of the strategy of choosing an internship, right? There's really two things going on at work here. One of them, you could call it luck, but I don't really believe in luck. So I'll just say timing plays a big role. You know, the opening for a full-time role so often comes down to timing. And I can say this firsthand, many of the jobs that I've received, especially coming right out of college early, I was in the right place at the right time with the right amount of knowledge, right skill set that they needed, and it worked out. I don't think it's luck. I mean, I think your hard work prepares you for opportunities, and that can sometimes exhibit itself as luck. But I do think it's timing. Sometimes you get, you know, the right timing and things happen. The reason I bring this up is because that might be out of your control. You know, you might not be able to, you might do the best possible job. You might follow every tip I ever give you, and they might just not have an opportunity. It does not mean that you are not viable as a candidate. It just means it might not exist. So not getting a full-time role after an internship is not a sign of failure. That's a double negative in there, but I think you know what I mean. So I probably should rephrase it, though. Is like, if you don't get a full-time role, that's not a sign that you were a failure. That's probably better. It's like the timing was just off, but it's still worth it to get the internship experience on your resume. So doing the best and making that right impression and building your network, all still hugely beneficial, even if you don't get the full-time role. Now, the part that you can control is your work and your effort. This is kind of the basics of your question. Then we're going to get into the deep details. We're going to get into the deeper part. The hard work part, you know, that two-part thing I was talking about, there's somewhat of the timing, and then there's also the hard work, making the right impression. Well, that's definitely in your control. You know, impressions count. Delivering on tasks matters. Being known as a yes person, willing to do whatever it takes, is so important. Showing up on time, staying extra when it's needed, doing things that just stand out for the right reasons, having a good attitude, being coachable. All these things are super important, right? We talk about them all the time. So you have to deliver on that first, and that's a part you can control. You can't control the timing. You can't control their work structure. You can't control that somebody just quit and it opened something up for you. That's timing. I guess it's luck. I'm kind of coming to the point where I'm going to say it, but I just hate that word. It just sounds like it's, I don't know, lottery ticket stuff, and I don't do that. Remember this, your internship is essentially a long interview process. I'd even say your entry-level jobs are essentially a long interview process. I'll explain after I cough. I can edit that out, or maybe I'll leave it in. We'll see. If you notice anything from these podcasts, is that I try to keep it as raw and honest as possible. I don't do a ton of editing out every time I say or I cough or I sneeze. It's because this is real. I'm just being me and honest with you, and I think most of you tell me that you enjoy that part. So remember, your internship is essentially a long interview process. Matter of fact, I'd say your entry-level jobs are the same way. Think about this. Put yourself in the shoes of the employer. I can bring in a bunch of young people who are hungry to do a job that I need doing that maybe other people don't want to do because lower down on the totem pole. And I can learn more about them and see if they are worthy of being hired and be my next wave of employees. I can test these people out for free, right? It's a great opportunity when you're an organization that brings in interns to learn about people. And essentially, when you're the employer and you're bringing in interns, you're evaluating each one of them every day. Do they show up on time? Do they do the job the way they're asked? Do they have an enthusiasm for everything they do? Are they coachable? Do they learn from their mistakes? All those sort of things. And the same thing kind of happens when you're an entry-level employee. You know, as an employer, I looked at entry-level employees like I want to be committed to them, but only if they earn it. Like I bring them in and I make a commitment to them and I want to help them learn and train them and have them succeed and everything like that. But if they don't, I'm not married to keeping them. You know, they if they don't earn the continual position, I will move on because I have to. It's my job on the line too. So you're continually being evaluated and interviewed as you get a job as an as you get an internship, but also as you get that first job too. So don't think this, well, I made it now so I can start to show up late. It doesn't work that way. If I hire somebody to a larger salary or maybe even sign an anchor or reporter to a contract, well, then I have to make that work and we are committed to each other. But when I'm hiring somebody in an entry-level staff for an internship, they're continually going through this interview process. But you have to look at that. Now we're flipping it around. You look at that as opportunity. That's every day you get to prove yourself. Every day you get to be present at all times. You don't take off any days mentally. You show up and you do the job to the best of your ability, and you know that's going to make a great impression. Now, another thing that always sticks out in my mind is for interns and to get that impression right so that you can be the person they hire full time. Because remember, you're also competing against the 5 to 10 to 50 other people you're interning with. You know, if there might be one job opening and there's 20 of you, well, how are you standing out, right? All these things we're talking about are helping you stand out. Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Patriots, in case you guys don't know. Oh my gosh, how awful would that be if I just said that and nobody knew who he was? That would not be a good sign for me or my audience. Hello. So Bill Belichick, he has this thing about, I don't mind people making a mistake, but when they get coached up, they can't be a mistake repeater. That to me is the absolute definition of coachability. Can you take criticism, learn from it, improve on it, and not make the same mistakes again? This is the attitude you need to bring to every internship day. You will be, for the first time in your life, criticized, corrected, changed, moved, altered. Okay. Your whole life up to this point, you've been in class, you've probably had papers graded and things. You've obviously had papers graded, and you've had your parents, you know, pushing you in certain directions, and you've had jobs. This is different. Now you're in the real world. You're going to have somebody literally telling you you're not doing a good enough job and you need to step up your game. And here's where you need to fix it. And here's where you need to get better. And this is going to be one of the first times, other than in sports, because coaches do this as well when you are participating in sports. This is going to be one of the first times you get challenged, right? And you have to take that mistake. Don't glom onto it. Learn from it. Move on. Become that coachable person. Don't become a mistake repeater. Extremely important that you can show an ability to learn as you go, be taught and correct yourself, and do better the next time moving on. So important. Okay. Other thing, take notes on your accomplishments during the internship. All of this, all these little nuggets that I'm giving right now are leading up to what's going to be your big moment. And I'm going to explain all that. That's kind of the details part of this. But every one of these things are like the things you need to be doing mentally and gathering so that you can bring them to this final conversation you're going to have with your internship coordinator. So let's explain this. Take notes on your accomplishments. How you improved when challenged, like I was talked about, how you've been dependable and it impacted the business, what actual accomplishments you've had, how you've driven towards certain goals you had when you started the internship, all these different things you've accomplished or been a part of or gotten to know or whatever it may be. Make sure you're taking notes on these things, because all of these things we're talking about right now are leading up to a big moment when you have a sit down conversation face to face with your internship coordinator or the mid-level manager that you are working under. You need to prepare for this moment. If you want to work full-time at this organization, this whole time, part of what you're preparing to do is preparing for this conversation. You're gaining skills, you're networking, you're getting to know people. You're also preparing for a conversation you're going to have sitting down face-to-face with your internship coordinator or with the mid-level manager, whoever it is that manages the internship program. Okay? When do you have this conversation? I think 2 to 3 weeks before the end of your internship. Now, why is that? I've heard other people suggest, a couple of days before you finish your internship or this, or do it early on in your internship. No. 2 to 3 weeks, most internships, let's say, last 12 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks before the end of your internship, you have established yourself as a worthy person and worth their acknowledgement, right? You've proven yourself. There's proof of concept out there. But it also isn't so close to the end of your internship that there is opportunity for follow-up conversations, or there's opportunity for things to develop and change, or for opportunities to arise, or for them to think about, okay, how can we strategically include this person in our business moving forward? You don't want to have it too close to the end of your internship, because then it's kind of too late almost. I like to get in a little bit early. Plus, If everybody else in your group or every other intern out there is also similarly motivated like you, well, they might be pilfering this person in the 2 or 3 days before the end of the internship cycle. You want to get in a little bit before that. So I think 2 to 3 weeks before the end of your internship, you need to have and prepare yourself to have this conversation. Now, what's the point of all this? Every employer I talk to, I'm telling you, every employer says, I need to know, this is them speaking, I need to know a candidate is interested in our available role. Because in their mind, right, the mind of the employer, you may have something else lined up, or you may not really want to work there, or you may not think it's a fit, or you may not be enjoying it. They are not going to connect the dots for you. They do not assume that just because you are there on an internship that you want to have a full-time job. They want to hear it from you, okay? You can't assume that they know. You have to communicate. Now, this is a really important step on many levels. It shows you have the maturity to have a one-on-one, face-to-face conversation with a superior and step out of your natural comfort zone. That's a good thing. And it tells them this person is not only qualified, as they've exemplified over the last 10 weeks on this internship, but they're also interested in being here. That's a very important message to give off. That's what we hear a ton from employers, that they want to know candidates are qualified, that they have the skills to do the job, that they are capable, and that they are interested, that they 100% want to be here as part of our organization. That is 100% on you to demonstrate that you are qualified and communicate you are interested. So, how do you do it? Schedule a meeting with your supervisor 2 to 3 weeks before you finish your internship. All right, we got through that part. Let them know, frame it for them. Let them know, hey, I just like to have 10 minutes of your time to discuss my future, okay? Something like that. You can put it in whatever words makes you comfortable, but frame it in a time like, I don't need to sit down with you for an hour meeting. I just need 10 minutes of your time to discuss a little bit more about my future. They're going to give that to you because you've given a lot of yourself to them for the last 10 weeks, right? Now, you are going to lead this conversation. So you have to have an opening statement, something to really get this thing flowing. So something like this. And I'm kind of doing this off the top of my head, but this will give you a framework to work with. This isn't a script for you to copy and paste and write down. This is a framework, okay? I want to thank you personally for this internship opportunity. It's pushed me to new levels, showed me more of who I want to be in this industry, and helped me focus on skills I can continue to improve upon. This is the type of culture I want to become a part of. I believe I can develop into a leader in sports marketing, both in a creative and strategic sense, and see this agency as perfectly aligned with my goals and aspirations. I am very interested in continuing my career here and wanted to know from your perspective if I fit the mold of the type of person you like to hire. If not, please let me know any specific things I can work on to better enhance my eligibility, because the idea of working at your organization is thrilling to me. Now, okay, if there's a specific role, you would mention it there. Like, I'm very interested in continuing my career here. I'd love to be considered for the open marketing coordinator role, you know, whatever. So what are the key parts of that script that I just kind of read? And just, again, it was off the top of my head, so it's not going to be perfect, but I wanted to hit on certain points. You're showing your enthusiasm for the organization and the culture. Businesses love to hear that. They want to know that they've created a good environment that people want to be a part of. So a little bit of flattery helps. You're respecting all they have taught you. Again, a little bit of flattery, a little bit of respect, a little bit of that mixed in helps. You are stating something more dynamic than, I want a job here. You're making a case and stating your goals and how this organization aligns with where you see your future. And you are also opening yourself up to feedback, which shows humility and vulnerability as well. You're not a know-it-all. You're not assuming they want to hire you. You are asking. You are coming at them in a mature fashion, having a awkward sometimes conversation, but laying it out there that this is what you want and you think you're a good fit for what they want going forward. And if they have any specific feedback, please provide it. I am open to it. So write this, write your own version of this, but you are going to control this conversation. So you're going to schedule it with them. You're going to control the conversation. You're going to have something to say and lock in, work on your confidence in delivering that message, because your ability to make eye contact as you do it and deliver it with confidence is important. Now, part number two, they get to say something too. They're going to respond. They may even say something like, well, specifically, why do you think you're a match for this workplace? And that's where you need to bring in all those things you wrote down. You have to be armed with your accomplishments. I executed these tasks. I improved in these areas. I was coachable when confronted with ways I could improve. You have to have those data points to share in that moment. Be ready to make your case. It's not going to be as easy as, oh my gosh, thank you for telling me that you're interested in working here. You're hired. You know, they're going to push you back. They want to see how you step up and stand up. You have to be ready for that follow-up. Now, think about this for a second. How many times have you heard of a friend getting a freebie or a new job or a raise, and you ask them, oh my gosh, how did you do that? And they respond something simple like, I asked for it. Just that is the key to remember. You have to make a strategy to ask. Schedule that meeting, have the conversation, state your wishes, and see what happens. Maybe they don't have a role. That's okay. But they're going to like that you asked, and they're going to enjoy your enthusiasm for their operation. Those messages, those moments will stand out 2 to 3 weeks before you finish your internship. You've impressed someone just by having this conversation. You'll have no regrets. You won't walk out of your internship thinking, oh, shoot, I should have asked. I should have tried more. I should have said something. You're not going to have any regrets. Plus, it could end up being an opportunity in the future when you least expect it. So stay in touch with the person, because even if they don't have an opportunity then, every once in a while, check in and let them know, like, hey, I'm still on the job market, still keeping an eye for opportunities that open up at your agency. Would love to be considered if anything pops up. Keep me in mind. Because they won't reach out back to you again, usually, because they might assume that you've already moved on. So let them know. Keep letting them know that you're interested. That's okay. It's not a sign of weakness at all. All right, Marnie. You have your strategy and your game plan now going into your internship. Don't forget, for all of our listeners, to check out our Work in Sports Academy online courses. Again, workinsports.com/gameplan. And if you're a professor, contact me directly. We'll work out a great deal so you can use our online courses in your classrooms for your students to their benefit. Win-win for everyone. Thanks for listening, everybody. Remember to subscribe, share it with your friends, do good things, and have a great day. All right, everybody. Time to go back to work.